T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome to another edition of Friday Funk, the Shane's Meat Live Edition with Shane Reardon.
This is the ultimate steak sandwich. You want the Rolls Royce of beef.
Must eat beef.
It has to be fillet.
That roast beef is capital T tender, man.
Today, we're going to use lamb. I know you're all out there going, lamb. Lamb is a great, great flavor.
Friday Funk.
That is so much flavor. Sweetness of the ham, that briny, pickly spice on the corned beef, and then just a nice smoky flavor from the pit beef.
So much steak. Lungs filling. Sinuses back with meat.
Friday Funk. The Shane's Meat Live Edition.
Oh, charred and moist, like Satan's burps.
On the Dan Bernstein Show.
I know what you're saying, but it's not Friday. Well, it is to me, because I have tomorrow off. So if it's my Friday, it can be your Friday as well. That's all that matters, is what it means to me. So, ha! And it's what it means to meet. And that's why we're doing Shane's Meat Live with the man who is on Twitter at Shane_Reardon. Shane Reardon is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. What is happening, oh great meat master?
Hi, Dan. How did your ribs go the other night that you said you were going to mess up?
They were solid, actually, because I don't have a smoker, so I have to approximate some of those things, and I use smoked paprika in my rub, and I use a hickory smoke sauce for the final stage, so I don't get a smoke ring on there, but I do them slow and low in the oven till tender, not fall off the bone. I don't like fall off the bone.
You shouldn't.
And then I finish them on the grill, you know, get a good char on both sides. And the very last thing I do is I sauce them, I give them a flip, and then we're set to go. So I like my ribs. I couldn't enter them in any sort of competition because they're not smoked as they probably should be. But fine. Did you see my chicken cacciatore from last night?
I did. It was gorgeous. The green garnish was beautiful. Was it cilantro? Or is it parsley?
No, that's parsley. Yeah, it's just Italian parsley. Cilantro wouldn't work with that, but that was a good batch. I put a good do on the cacciatore.
Yeah, the color looked really good.
Yeah, well, that's an easy one, too. So what is, first of all, before we start grabbing some calls, 312-644-6767, what are we going to be seeing on your various social media feeds for your weekend?
So I planned 3 things for this weekend. Tomorrow is going to be a grilled/smoked stuffed jalapeno, a jalapeno popper with just some cream cheese, some shredded up Colby Jack wrapped in bacon. And then Saturday, we're going to go big. We're going to do a stuffed poblano with Mexican rice, chorizo, and cheese. We're going to do elote on the cob, and then I'm also doing some smoke ribs, 3-2-1 method, smoke for 3 hours, wrap for 2 hours, smoke for 1 hour with sauce. So that's this weekend. It should be pretty successful. I'm trying out a new smoker, maybe, so we'll see.
Do you do back ribs or spare ribs, and
these
why?
These are St. Louis, and they're pretty darn thick. They are... I prefer spare ribs, but the price at Costco on a set that we got a couple weeks ago in the freezer was better on the St. Louis, so we'll see. But I do prefer a Chinese spare rib.
And the St. Louis is a spare rib with the tips or the brisket cap cut off, so it's a little bit flatter, more standardized sort of rib.
Yep, and I think I'll probably trim some more fat off of it myself. And you see, the thing with ribs, and I know we addressed this on Twitter with somebody I think last week tweeted in after the segment, always trim off that silver skin underneath your ribs when you get it. Like, even if you're buying the Hormel freeze-dried or freeze-wrapped, whatever it is, from the grocery store.
Or Smithfield.
This, yeah. Sure. There's this little silver skin. It's like a plastic film almost. It's not actually plastic. It's part of the cow or part of the pig. Trim that off. Rip that off the back of your bones. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to bite through that rib.
Yeah, I struggle with that, too, because sometimes the skirt steak that I buy has that removed, or depending whether it's inside skirt or outside skirt, that sometimes it gets really unwieldy, and you sort of get in the weeds trying to strip the silver skin off of it, and you start losing meat, and it gets frustrating, but it's important, and a lot of places will not, the way it's, if you buy it on the styrofoam pack, they'll leave that part down. And it's not until you get home that you're like, oh, now I got to spend a half an hour stripping this stuff off, because otherwise the marinade's not going to get in.
Well, that's why I don't like buying pre-packaged steaks from the grocery store or anything like that. They know what they're doing. They'll hide the portion that's not marbled well with the tag, or they'll put the portion that's not marbled well on the bottom side. And I want to say one thing, Dan. The 815 is already starting on Thursday. First text on the 815. Hey, try armadillo eggs instead of the poppers. I don't want armadillo eggs.
What are armadillo eggs?
I think it's like a... you wrap it, you take the popper, and then you wrap it in sausage, and then you grill it like that. It's just, it's too much meat, which is something you won't hear from me often. An armadillo egg is just too much meat.
Well, what I've had before that I really like, my guy Gary had him over at Diversey Rockin' Bowl, and that's probably the best. He calls them dragon bites, and it is it's a jalapeno that has the cream cheese, a little bit of very spicy Italian sausage, not a lot, but a little bit of crumbled spicy sausage in it, and then that is wrapped in bacon and deep fried.
That sounds really good.
Yeah, it's good but like you say, the amount of meat matters in that.
Absolutely, and that's too much meat. An armadillo egg is too much meat.
You like scotch eggs?
I love a scotch egg. Absolutely love a scotch egg. I love a soft-boiled egg. I think there's a big science behind perfectly boiling an egg to your liking, like the 5-minute, 6-minute, 7-minute, 8-minute. And, I mean, boiled water, don't lie. Everybody always says that. Boiled water, don't lie.
Let's grab some phone calls. 312-644-6767. If you are lined up, any kind of advice, any kind of suggestion, any kind of uncertainty, Shane can bring some direction to your life as a cook or as a griller of all things meat. It'll be Dubuque, Iowa, and Bill on the score. Hello, Bill.
Hi. Shane, I watch a lot of cooking shows, and I notice now a lot of these chefs and a lot of these people that do this, when they make burgers, they do a mixture of 50% ground beef, 50% ground pork. When I smoke my meat or when I cook out on the grill, I go a lot by internal temperature. With that ground pork in there, how does that change the internal temperature for it to be done?
Well, I love this question, Bill, because the FDA's standards for the temperature that pork needs to be cooked to have changed over the years. I don't know how old you are, but when I was growing up, my parents are in their lower 50s, and they are Irish, so you boil the crap out of everything and make sure it has no taste left whatsoever. So when my mom, she's a great cook, when she would make pork chops, they'd just be gray and they'd turn into chalk because she wanted to make sure that it was cooked completely. Nowadays, and like we say often on Shane's Meat Live, don't be afraid to get sick every once in a while. Play with the temperature on that pork. You can bring that up to 145, which is also the perfect medium rare temperature for ground beef for a burger. So 145 would be what you're shooting for. I would go for 140 and take it off at there, and then it'll come up to between 145 and 150 in the resting process.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking too, because that's what I do my pork at. But I just wasn't quite sure.
And you know what? Try if you have a meat grinder or if you've got a butcher or a meat counter at your favorite grocery store that you like, instead of the ground pork, give them some boneless short ribs and have them ground up the short ribs. Oh. It's a much, much, much better companion for the ground beef in a burger. I do like 60% 80-20 ground chuck and then 40% ground short rib.
Okay, well, thanks for the advice.
Of course.
That's what we're here for. That's what we do on Shane's Meat Live. It is the reason for our very existence. Joe is in Hampshire. He's on the score next. Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. I love this segment, but I've got a big...
I love you, Joe.
Oh, thanks. I love you. We've got a disagreement in the family. My wife got a deal on a 5.5-pound boneless pork butt. Now, she wants to make pulled pork out of it. I'm like, great, this will be great. Her idea, cover it with salt and pepper, put it into the crock pot, let it cook down, pull it apart, done. My idea, I want to pull it on the grill and char this thing a little bit. Do we still have to? I'm hesitant to cook something that thick for so long, but I'd like to just put it out there, throw some mesquite chips, throw some hickory chips, throw some pecan chips, let this thing smoke on the grill for about 5 hours.
What kind of grill?
Weber.
Like a gas grill?
No, charcoal.
Well, okay, so it's going to take longer than 5 hours. A 5-pound pork shoulder, especially with the bone out, is going to take much longer than 5 hours.
Okay, I've got both, but I prefer using charcoal.
Yeah, you should. So it's just a standard Weber kettle grill?
Yep.
All right, so your best bet is to utilize the snake method for your charcoal. So what that means, you're going to start lining a circle of charcoals around the exterior of the bottom of the kettle grill. You're going to light only a few of them. And then you're going to keep unlit ones next to them as they go. So they'll continue to light, they'll continue to light, they'll continue to light, and keep heat for the entire time. Only
Ooh,
you
never
know
heard of this before.
It's a killer method, but only you know your grill. So you want the internal heat temperature of that grill to be about 225, between 225 and 250. So you know your grill, you know your charcoal. You're going to have to test it out to see how much charcoal you're going to use because it's going to be a while. It's going to be somewhere between 9 and 15 hours. You're going to put that pork shoulder right in the middle of it, a little drip tinfoil pan underneath it with some water to accomplish that smoke. You're going to throw some chips, some wood chips that you soaked overnight on top of those charcoal to get your smoke. And then every 20 minutes to a half hour, you're going to spritz the top of the pork shoulder with a combination of apple juice, orange juice, and apple cider vinegar.
Yes.
And even a little bourbon if you're feeling spicy this weekend, Joe.
You have to marinate both yourself and what you're grilling.
heard that.
So basically get it charcoal going on either side of it, but then so it's like cooks around, put the unlit charcoal around the outside so it goes like a clock.
Yep, you're going to put them right next to each other and then light each one on either side. And then you might have to stack a couple layers because you're still going to need the requisite heat.
Got it.
All right.
I kind of stumbled through that, but if you want to Google the snake method, charcoal snake method, you'll get a much more detailed instruction that I can't give you on the radio.
And I want to respond to a texter here, too, with really good advice. And I think, and I don't remember if I mentioned this once, like years ago on that thing we did during, that we ran on the stream during Cubs games or not. But there is a texter that says that if you're buying skirt steak, go to the butcher counter of a Mexican grocery. Because it's better, it's trimmed, it's tenderized. Yeah, that would be the actual arachera. And just on balance, I would say this, that if you have not availed yourself of any ethnic grocery, specific, if you have access to it, and I live in Chicago's Northwest Side, they're all over here. I mean, I can go to Guanajuato, and I can go up north when we go golfing up at Robert Black. That Cermak Foods there has all kinds of stuff. I mean, there's Mexican stuff. There's halal Arabic stuff there that is just wonderful. It up on Devon here. I'm lucky because I live in the city. But increasingly, especially the people who live here, if you're in Palatine, Schaumburg, there are some wonderful Indian groceries.
Valley Produce in Schaumburg.
There's so many. You know, even right up here in, I think it's Edgebrook Grocer that's up. And it's oddly enough, right across the street from a Jewel up in Andersonville. And it's amazing. And it's a fraction of the price and the quality of the meat and the attention that you get and your ability to find things cut in a way that you wouldn't have thought before. If you go to the Jongbu market here, the Korean market, and you see that there's pork that's cut in a certain way and it's perpendicular to a usual cut. And I didn't recognize it. And I say, oh, it's the same cut, but done thinner and on a different grain that totally changes the texture of the meat. I would say be really open to that because overall, you're going to get a high quality, you're going to pay less, and you're going to open up possibilities to things you may not have considered before just by seeing the way other cultures approach the same cuts of meat.
Stemming off, Dan, the pork shoulder guy with the Weber kettle, the 630 wants to know, how do you keep the kettle from not getting too hot? It's all about airflow control. You've got an airflow control on the top and you have an airflow control on the bottom. You just have to play around with that thing to see, you know, where it's got to be letting it X amount of air in to keep it between 225 and 250. That's it. Airflow control on top and bottom.
The text line is absolutely blowing up right now, and I want to try to get to all of those. You have an opportunity. We do have a couple open phone lines for our next segment. This is Shane's Meat Live, and if you are planning on doing any kind of grilling this weekend, of what to buy, of what to grill, of where some values may be, if you're trying to impress somebody, even if you're looking for sides, it doesn't have to be necessarily the meat itself. We could do wine pairings for you. We could do whatever you need. 312-644-6767. This is the only place you can find Shane's Meat Live. Sports Radio 670, The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're doing Friday on a Thursday because some of us have the day off tomorrow, the rare day off, and it is a holiday weekend. And that means while we're practicing safe social distancing and making sure that we're being smart about it and not being stupid, that we can grill and we can hang out and we can be outside and safe with people and making people happy by feeding them charred meat. And Shane Reardon is an expert in applying heat to meat in ways that can be satisfying. So we have your phone calls as you are enjoying Shane's Meat Live, getting advice and thoughts and just providing a forum here for people who want to optimize their 3-day grilling weekend. Next up, Oregon, Illinois, and Andy on The Score. It's Andy.
Thanks, Dan. Shane, listening to you speak about your mother overcooking the pork, boiling it to excess, the previous caller, his wife, putting the pork butt in the crock pot, what's your thoughts on the fact that all the flavor from the meat, and also people do this, they'll take ribs and they'll boil the meat so it's extremely tender, that all the flavor goes into the liquid. Do you do anything with that liquid?
I mean, I guess you could make a gravy out of it. I'm just so anti-crock pot. I guess I just grew up with so many crock pot meals, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good for a family. It's good when you got kids and you got practices and games after school and all that stuff. Just in my current life, I'm braising, slow braising in a Dutch oven, and you just render so much more flavor into that juice. I guess you could reserve some of it and make a gravy out of it, but I'm just anti-crockpot. That being said, never throw out any of the rendered juice.
I would just say you could throw that in a big pan and just boil it down into a glop,
right?
Like a demi-glace. A
little bit of flour if you want to quicken it up, but
sure, Andy.
What I've done, in fact, I don't have a grill, is I get a lot of pork gives off a lot of liquid, and I cook it the day before, and then the fat comes to the top. I get rid of half of the fat, save it for some beans, and I saute onion and garlic in the remaining fat, and then put the rest of the liquid in, let it cook down at least halfway so it's condensed flavor, and then simply put in whatever barbecue sauce you use, get it hot, put it over the pork back in the crock pot, and you've got great, great flavor in a very simple way to make pulled pork.
It's a great idea, my man.
That's good, Andy. Thank you. That is a way of using everything and the frugality of that. I find that really satisfying, of not letting any of that flavor go to waste, of not throwing stuff out, of incorporating it all. Like you say, if you're reserving some of that fat to use in beans, or using your bacon fat to get as a starter for your bolognese, you know, a lot of that stuff. I love that because it makes it all come together. Northwest Side, here's Steve on Shane's Meat Live.
Yeah, I had a quick comment about the burger mixture and a question about steak. I think the short rib call is an excellent one. I also wanted to add brisket. I do my own grind usually, and it's like I grind a third brisket, a third chuck, and a third short rib. And I use as much of that fat cap from the brisket as possible. It really ends up being like a 70-30 mix because that makes it good, right?
Yeah, as much fat as possible. That's a killer mixture.
And all the heat as possible that you can use on the grill. If you get the hotter fire, it'll render a lot of that fat, and it'll give you a nice crust on the outside, and the burger won't be as fatty because a lot of it will just melt off. I think it's a good way to go. I had a question about ribeyes. Joe Kane, the former Bear, was on your air a couple weeks ago talking about ribeyes, and he said he believed that ribeyes should be cooked to medium. And I'm the sort that doesn't even go beyond rare. I like meat rare. But he thought because of the greater fat content in a ribeye that it rendered better if it were on longer. And I don't know. Do you agree with that?
All due respect to Joe Kane, it's a trash opinion. No, you never cook. I'm never going to go to medium unless you have,
thanks, Steve.
Like, I'm of the belief if I'm having people over, if I'm buying the meat, I'm cooking it however the hell I want to. If you're bringing me a cut of meat, it's your cut. I'll cook it however you want. But just know that if it's more than medium rare, you're wrong and you're not coming back. So if you like it medium, then do it in your own home and don't talk to me about it. I don't care about medium rare. You're hitting the scientific temperature of the fat rendering to its completion at 138 degrees, 137 degrees, and that's really even on the high end. I'm with you, Steve. I think that was Steve or Michael or Jim. I'm with you that I like it rare. Medium rare is fine, but I don't mind chewing through a little bit of fat to get the meat temperature the way I want it.
Aurora, Illinois, and Chase next on the score. Hi, Chase.
Hi, guys. One of my favorite cuts is flank steak. Well, my go-to is marinated in a good red wine, dry red wine, some soy sauce, some garlic, some parsley. But I'm looking for something new, something different to do with a flank. And I'm just curious, can you give me some suggestions?
I have it for you immediately. Lime juice, orange juice, packed brown sugar, salt and pepper, and you can still do a little bit of that soy sauce and a high fat content oil like an avocado oil. The way that the orange and the brown sugar interacts with that flank and gets into the grains and makes up for the fat that the flank is lacking does absolute wonders. I wouldn't do a cast iron pan because the acidic content of the lime and the orange juice is going to break down the seasoning on your pan. I would throw it over high heat, depending on the thickness, for like 90 seconds to 2 minutes aside, and you're done. Chop it up in some tacos or a sandwich, whatever you want. But orange juice and brown sugar is the game changer for flank, in my opinion.
How long do you marinate it?
As long as you want. Minimum 3 hours. I try to go 24. I try to put it in the morning of. The morning before.
I like a long marinade just so it sits through and gets all that flavor in it.
Absolutely.
So. All right,
there you
guys,
go.
Thanks.
All right, Chase.
That's what we're doing on Shane's Meat Live. Asked and Answered. 630 says, guys, suggestions for a marinade for bone-in pork chops on the grill. I do this relatively often. Make sure they're thick. Mariano's has a really good, relatively inexpensive, double-thick pork chop. Do not get it butterflied. They sell them butterflied, but if you're grilling, you want it thick so you can get that good char and still maintain that sort of juiciness in the middle. What I've done, it's similar, to Shane, to what you just said with those very pork chops. It's orange juice, a little bit of lemon juice to increase the acidity, smoked paprika, salt, pepper, and a tiny bit of honey.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely. And don't overcook it, you hacks.
No. It's pork. It used to be, you know, people my age, pork had to be practically inedible.
Yeah, 165.
It had to be cooked through because of trichinosis. But now it's only the people who are packing the pork who get sick.
Yep.
The actual pigs are fine and the meat is fine. It's just the people who are cutting it up and packing it for you. Those are the people that are ending up dying. So, you know, everything's fine in that regard. We're doing Shane's Meat Live at the moment on the score. And we find George. He is in Rockford and he is on the score.
Hi, guys. Enjoy the segment. Question, I'm going to do some spare ribs this weekend and wondering about how long to do like a apple cider brine and then put a dry rub on it, like what should the timing be for how long I do each.
I've never done an apple cider brine. So I don't know if the acidity in the apple cider vinegar is going to affect the time that you brine. But, I mean, with ribs, I've done up to 4 days in a cake pan, like a 9x13 pan with just beer, like either a good stout or a high ABV IPA. It produces like the juiciest ribs you'll ever have. And then instead of, you know, coating the ribs in mustard to tenderize and to get your rub to stick, you skip that part and you just do whatever your favorite rub combination is. I like a smoked paprika, chipotle powder, mustard powder, brown sugar, salt and pepper, and then sometimes like just a little bit of oregano. But then I take the already dried oregano and I put it in a blender and make it even smaller so it's like completely pulverized, and then just a ton of black pepper. I can't speak to the time on a apple cider vinegar brine. I don't know if the acidity would affect that, but just know that if you're going to brine it for a long period of time, you're basically cutting the ribs cook time in half. If you're looking at a 4-hour smoke, you're probably going to come up to temperature on a 24 to 48 hour brine in about 2.5 hours, two and a half hours.
Okay. Just
be wary of that.
Putting the rub on for like
just right before you cook it.
No,
right before you cook it. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, just pack it in there real tight.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that too, Shane, because when we say rub, a rub is not a sprinkle.
No.
A rub is not a dusting. And that is when I watch people who there's elbow grease put into actually literally taking the time to massage that stuff in. I mean, it should be underneath your fingernails. That it is yep. Work to get a good rub to do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, you spank the rub in there like you got some aggression to take out.
As we know you do.
No. Nonsense.
Howard is next on the score on Shane's Meat Live. Hello, Howard.
Hello. First time caller, but I couldn't resist the coincidence.
Let's go, Howard.
I turned on my radio as I came out of my favorite meat market with 6 slabs of bison ribs.
Whoa.
Interesting.
But I have the whole family on the back deck this weekend, well separated.
Are you going to let them come inside at all and sleep, or are you just keeping them on the back deck?
Nope, just on the deck.
Interesting.
But they go through the ribs pretty fast.
Bison ribs. I wouldn't even know. The only thing I know about bison is that it's less fatty than regular beef, but the rules to cooking it are similar. So what's your prep on those?
My son-in-law is a professional brewer and smokes at home. So I know he smokes them with some kind of a dark sauce, dark barbecue sauce, and a lot of dark beer.
Yeah. Yep. I'm absolutely on board with that. I can't speak to how you would cook bison ribs either, but I'd assume the process is very similar to beef ribs, just introducing more fat.
I grew up on the East Coast with beef ribs instead of pork ribs. When I watched Dancing with Wolves and Around the Fire, they're having bison ribs, I said, I've got to try it. Since I get fresh bison up in Antioch a couple of times a year, I just asked and they said, sure, we've got them in the freezer.
Absolutely.
And they are incredible.
I got to give that a shot. Thank you, Howard. That sounds good.
Doesn't it? And
yeah.
I've always found beef ribs to be a little weird. It takes some effort to sort of pop through the outer membrane, and it tastes really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just you feel like you're like a hyena or a wolf by the time you're done, just because you're like actively ripping strips of meat off of there.
Yeah, I don't like to grill or smoke a beef rib, but I love a slow braised beef rib. Absolutely.
Yeah, that I haven't had, but I think slow braising is sort of really the secret to everything.
Yes.
If you have the patience and enough braising liquid. Chad is on 294, and he's on Shane's Meat Live on the score. What's happening, Chad?
Thanks, guys. I'm on my way up north. I'm just thinking maybe I need to go to Antioch and get some bison ribs. A couple comments. If you're pulling that membrane off the back of ribs, it's a lot easier if you use some type of, like, cloth, even like an old T-shirt to grip it. It rips off easier.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Also, once your meat gets to around, I think, 105 temperature, you can lay off the wood chips and stuff because at that point it won't take any smoke. My question for you, Shane, is are you a lump charcoal guy or more of a Kingsford type guy? Is it worth the extra expense for the lump charcoal?
Yeah, I prefer lump charcoal. It'll burn for longer. It depends on what grill I'm using. Like on a Weber, there's just more room. There's less room in my Weber for a good amount of lump charcoal. But when I had The knockoff of the Big Green Egg, which is the char griller Acorn. I used a lot of lump charcoal. I can't remember the brand, but it was that red bag with the yellow lettering. I do both. I feel like the Home Depot by my apartment has lump a lot less often than it has briquettes, but I prefer the lump because you don't have to put it in the chimney and get it going as long as you have to get the briquettes going. But I prefer the lump definitely.
Okay, yeah, because I have both a Weber and then I've also got a Oklahoma Joe Horizon. So I kind of depends on how much I'm doing, you know, how many people I'm cooking for.
Yeah, lump better for large quantities, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. This is an interesting question. I don't know if you've addressed before from the 805 Rock Salt Crust, grilling 4 bone-in prime ribs this weekend. What's the target internal temperature to remove from the oven? I don't know anything about rock salt crusting.
Well, it all depends on how you want to finish. The temperature that you're removing is not affected by the crusting you're putting on the steak. I do know that. So if this is like what I'm thinking, where you're putting it on a bed of the rock salt and then packing the rock salt over the steak as well, you're still shooting for the same internal temperature. It's just a different method of getting that salt flavor into the beef. So if you like it medium rare, rare to medium rare, rare plus like I do, I'm taking it out of the oven at 110 and then putting it on the cast iron for about 60 to 90 seconds aside to come up to like 128. So the fact that it's rock salt is not going to affect the internal time that you take it out of the oven, if that makes sense.
It does. Several texters are pointing out Royal Oak charcoal.
That's it. Yep, Royal Oak. Yep.
That you're talking about.
Royal and the 309, Acorn is the truth. Absolutely. I love the Big Green Egg. If you've got $900 to $1,800 to drop on a Big Green Egg, by all means do it. But if you're looking for the more affordable option, the Char Griller Acorn is like $350 to $500, depending on the size that you get. It's still ceramic, just doesn't have the same insulation that a Big Green Egg does, but a beautiful, beautiful knockoff grill of the Big Green Egg.
Something I meant to ask you before we let you go.
Yeah.
Have you done coffee-crusted steak?
I've done coffee-crusted steak a few times. I don't like it. I like the simple flavor of salt and pepper. I don't really like to do anything to my steak outside of salt and pepper unless I'm doing a taco, unless I'm doing some kind of sandwich or some kind of Cuban. I just like the salt and pepper. I'm simple that way. I know you put coffee in so much. You're such a weirdo. You put it in chili. You save it for months on end and put it in your moisturizer. I'm not sure what you do with the coffee to stay so young, but I don't like coffee on many things but in my drink.
There you have it. Shane Reardon, Shane's Meat Live.
Thank you, Dan. Sir. This is fun.
This is great. Yeah, I always love doing this, and we're going to do it throughout the summer, fall, hell. Even once we get in the winter, we can do all sorts of other cooking things. That has been Shane's Meat Live. Some breaking news here. The Chicago Cubs have provided the following update on left-handed pitcher Jose Quintana. Last Saturday, while washing dishes at his home in Miami, Quintana suffered a laceration on his left thumb that required 5 stitches. This morning in Chicago, Quintana underwent microscopic surgery on his left thumb to further determine the extent of his injury. The procedure identified a lacerated digital sensory nerve in his left thumb, which was surgically repaired. Quintana is expected to resume his throwing program in approximately 2 weeks, after which time a further determination will be made on expected length of absence. Yikes. That's no good. Breaking news on The Score is brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference podcast series. Go listen at radio.com/Dell. So that's no fun. Wish Jose Quintana well. That was when I saw the special statement. It certainly was not my expectation. There's something a little bit more reasonable for us to expect, particularly people who are in Florida, a state that just today reported 10,000 new cases of coronavirus. When we come back, you're going to hear from Ian Happ. He joined us to start the show. We touched on a lot of different things, and we've got him for you. If you missed it, you're going to want to hear it. So don't go anywhere. You will hear from the Cubs outfielder next on The Score. Dan Bernstein with you on Sports Radio 670 WSCR. The Score just gave you the news on Jose Quintana having thumb surgery, and his availability will be better known once he restarts his throwing program in a couple weeks. Also getting some news now currently from the NBA, where Joe Cowley says that some of the tests are in now for what were the sample of players that have been tested by the league, and now the league and the union are noting that 25 of the 351 players tested were indeed positive. 25 of 351. And of the 884 team staff tested, 10 of those are positive. And Cowley adds in Cowley fashion, as only he can, tip it off. Yes, indeed, they are going to do just that. Well, earlier in the show, he had to join us right out of the gate. But Ian Happ jumped on, and we talked to him about a lot of things, starting with the fact that they're back to playing baseball. You're back to work, Ian. How's the new routine?
I am back to work. I'm very excited about it. It's a little different. We're kind of still trying to figure things out. I don't think not everybody's gotten tested yet. Everybody's getting into town. We're not officially started yet, I guess, with team practice. So we'll get in a little bit better routine at the end of the week.
Have you been tested yet?
I have. Yep. I've been tested, cleared, actually at Wrigley now. So being able to get my work in here has been great. First day was yesterday. Hit on the field with Anthony, and it was just the field's perfect right now. It's beautiful. I wish people could see it because it was just a special moment to be outside hitting baseballs again at Wrigley Field.
I know it's got to be weird in the locker room or what's functioning as locker rooms right now, because after all that time and all that effort to give you guys that special place to be, and now you can't sort of have it. The connections with teammates are going to be different right now. Your interactions are going to be different. How are you sort of maintaining distance while also being together in a way that baseball teams have to be together?
Yeah, it's very strange. Everybody's wearing masks to the clubhouse. The group is spread out. You have lockers all over the place and you know, using the visiting locker room and just all kinds of stuff that you would never think of having to do at Wrigley Field. So it's definitely strange, but the precautions are necessary. Our entire staff is doing a great job with staying on top of it, making sure that all the protocols are followed, and really just making sure the guys are as safe as they can possibly be.
I know you guys have talked about it on the compound and Dakota Meckes. I'm going to say, like, how do you not spit? How does a pitcher not spit? I mean, are the spit police walking around? Are there signs? Are there reminders of trying to create new and healthier habits?
No police out yet, just because I think not everybody's here yet. I think there will be some people watching and making sure that the rules are being followed. But for right now, it's on the players. It's on us. You know, we understand the protocols. We've seen them. I was outside yesterday taking BP and was definitely conscious of that, conscious of just everything that we're talking about doing to make sure that we're in as safe a place as possible, because it will be a competitive advantage to keep guys on the field, to keep guys healthy, as well as the right thing to do.
Tommy Hotovy came on the Score yesterday at 8 o'clock and told his personal and harrowing story about his ordeal with COVID-19. He said that he had been sharing his journey, as he called it, with the pitchers. How aware were others of what he was going through, and how sobering is it to have it hit home like that?
Yeah, I think I was more aware than most of our position players, just because I was living in the house with Dakota as he was going through it. And so Dakota would be on the pitcher's calls and we would get weekly updates on how he was doing. And I think the most amazing part of that is both his family situation, having to be very, very isolated, and also the fact that he wasn't testing negative for a month, I guess. So I can't imagine. I think that we're all happy that he's back to being healthy, that he's putting some weight back on. It was the whole Cubs family was definitely with him through that time.
I want to get to the news of the day, or certainly of yesterday, when MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred was on the Dan Patrick Show and didn't just say the quiet part out loud. He went further than that in saying that no matter what would happen in negotiation, essentially they were never going to play more than 60 games, and just admitting openly that much of some supposed negotiation was really not that. He said the reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations with the players went. And I'm thinking, dude, for a Harvard law-trained negotiating professional to not understand the sword of Damocles that is that grievance that's still hanging over his head, that you guys did not waive your right to grieve. Did your jaw drop when you saw this?
I've seen the quote. I haven't seen the full interview, so I hope, I guess I don't hope, but I don't know if it's out of context or not. But, just a crazy, crazy thing for him to say. And the other part of that is, I think we knew pretty early on that that was their number, or somewhere around there was their number, because of the proposals that they were sending over, because of the percentage of the salaries that they were willing to pay. But it's not good for the game. It's not good for the way that the fans look at the game. And if the if Major League Baseball is looking fans in the eye and telling them that they're only going to play a certain percentage of the season, I just don't think that's where we want to head as a group.
And I think very simply that those words, best efforts. That's you know, National Labor Relations Board can look at this and say that at the very least that falls far short of the legal standard of best efforts when you say we weren't going to play more than 60 games no matter how the negotiations went. That is very clearly, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an arbitrator, but that doesn't look like best efforts to me.
Nope, it definitely doesn't, and it definitely didn't feel like best efforts at the time. Until right at the end there, when they were in their window of exactly what they probably internally had agreed to. So it is unfortunate that that's how the negotiation went overall.
Ian, I know you only have a couple of minutes for us. I appreciate you carving out some time, as always. We'll get into a little bit more of a regular routine, looking probably 9:30 or so most Thursdays when we can let it breathe a little bit more. But I just wanted to ask about something that I heard in your conversation that you had with Jeremy Piven. When you're talking about why it's nice to play for the Cubs and why it's nice to play in Chicago, and there's something that I wanted to make sure that I heard right, where you said that the media was generally, I don't know if the word you used was nicer or favorable or maybe compared to other markets. And I'm wondering, how do you judge that? What's the context? Is that a shared sentiment around MLB that it's a nicer place to play with your interactions with the media?
Yeah, Chicago is a pretty favorable place with the media because for the most part, the group isn't out to get you. They're not out to make a storyline of a misquote or only print part of the story. They do a great job of giving us a chance to really express ourselves and hear our voice. And it's treated more as a season. They're a little bit more understanding. I know we were very fortunate with Joe to take a lot of pressure off us and do a lot of the media responsibilities, but just looking at some of the other major markets that I know we've heard guys that have played for some of the markets, and they talk about 162 single game seasons, where you know at the end of every day it's you know if you lost that day, it's the end of the world. So our media, our market does a great job of kind of seeing the whole picture about not getting too high or too low, and I think we really appreciate that as a group. We appreciate the fact that we can feel comfortable talking to our media and not feel like we always have to be 100% on guard.
Well, it's going to be put to the test now, because now we do have 60 individual seasons essentially right now.
Exactly right. Yeah, we hope. I hope that those comments will carry on. I hope everybody that's listening go, you stay nice with us. We're doing our best here.
Ian, thanks as always. We'll let you get back to work and look forward to talking next week.
Thanks so much.
That was Ian Happ, and he will be joining us at around 9:30 from here on in based on his new routine. He was among our guests today. Also, we spoke with Keith Smith of Yahoo NBA, and we had Shane Reardon making his appearance for another. It's just amazed how something that's so simple can be so beloved. But Shane's Meat Live, once again, had the text lines blowing up, the phone lines blinking, light up like a Christmas tree. Mark Grody is going to be in tomorrow because we get a actual corporate holiday for tomorrow, which I think I'm going to take because why not? Feels like Friday for me here. So let's just agree that this weekend, even though we have plenty of opportunity to do stupid and selfish things, that we don't have to. And we can have all the fun in the world while also being smart and also thinking about other people and listening to doctors and only listening to people who listen to doctors. So have a safe and healthy 4th of July weekend. And I say this every year, don't put fireworks on your head. Don't light fireworks in your hand. Don't explode your face. Don't lose an eye. Don't blow off your fingers. Don't kill the dog. Don't be stupid. Because this is an opportunity for people to be really, really stupid. And I guarantee you that when we do our midday midway on Monday, it is large part going to be stupid people from this weekend. Don't be part of the midday midway on Monday at 10:40. That's just my suggestion to you. Happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. Stay healthy. Talk to you on Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.